You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Thursday, August 6, 2026. Back in the high life again. World-class assets headline: BP's return to upstream growth. Published by Nicholas Coccioni and Thomas Burecry. BP has undergone a series of significant strategic transformations since the Deepwater Horizon oil spill in 2010 tarnished its reputation and nearly crippled its balance sheet. Over the past 16 years, the company has undergone multiple restructurings of its upstream portfolio, interrupted by a shift to, and then away from, one of the sector's most ambitious energy transition strategies. In today's RBN blog, we chronicle the upstream evolution of one of the oil and gas industry's most significant integrated companies. The Deepwater Horizon oil spill, the most consequential disaster in the history of the oil and gas industry, imposed enormous financial, legal, operational, and reputational consequences that lasted more than a decade. The April 2010 blowout killed 11 workers and triggered the largest offshore oil spill in U.S. history, releasing an estimated 134 million gallons of crude into the U.S. Gulf. BP's financial position and strategic direction were severely challenged as it ultimately faced a combined cost of $61.6 billion in cleanup, settlements, fines, and compensation, one of the most expensive corporate disasters ever. The company paid a $20.8 billion civil settlement, a $4 billion criminal penalty, and billions more through private claims programs and restoration funding. Equally important, the company faced a loss of confidence by investors, regulators, and other industry participants. Survival required significant strategic restructuring that continued over the next decade and a half. We should begin by noting that BP announced in July 2010, 3 months after the Deepwater Horizon spill, that CEO Tony Hayward would be replaced by Bob Dudley, a Mississippi native who had already been put in charge of handling the spill as president of the newly created Gulf Coast Restoration Organization. Dudley, the first American to lead BP, focused on stabilization, restoring trust, managing the legal fallout, and rebuilding the company's reputation. BP concentrated capital in a smaller number of high-quality developments capable of generating durable returns. By the end of the decade, BP had strengthened positions in the offshore Gulf, Azerbaijan, Oman, Egypt, Trinidad, and Tobago, and the lower 48, assets that now anchor its upstream portfolio. BP's evolution can be summarized in three phases. Phase 1, portfolio rebuilding, 2015 to 2019. To generate the cash needed to cover these liabilities, BP launched an aggressive divestiture program. The company announced plans to raise between $25 billion and $30 billion over 18 months by selling oil and gas production assets outside its key growth regions. The divestments included petrochemical interests in Malaysia and stakes in oil and gas fields across multiple continents, with assets sold or slated for sale valued at roughly $27.2 billion. Phase 2, accelerating the energy transition, 2020 to 2024. In 2020, Dudley handed the reins to Bernard Looney, who arrived with a very different mission focused on energy transition. Under Looney's reimagining energy strategy, BP committed to becoming a net zero energy company by 2050. The plan was ambitious: cut oil and gas production by 40% by 2030, from 2.6 million barrels per day down to 1.5 million barrels per day, and grow low-carbon energy investments tenfold to $5 billion a year by the end of the decade. More than 20% of BP's capital spending, roughly $3 billion to $5 billion out of a $14 billion to $18 billion annual budget, was earmarked for low-carbon projects. This strategy shifted dramatically in 2022 when Russia's invasion of Ukraine prompted BP to walk away from its 19.75% ownership interest in Rosneft, the Russian oil and gas giant, thereby eliminating one of BP's largest sources of production, reserves, and earnings. The loss underscored the strategic importance of conventional oil and natural gas and exposed the limitations of rapid hydrocarbon decline. By 2023, BP had started watering down its green commitments, raising its 2030 oil and gas production target from 1.5 million barrels per day back up to 2 million barrels per day, citing the energy security concerns created by the Russia-Ukraine conflict. Phase 3, the strategic reset, 2025-present. BP's 2025 reset recentered upstream oil and gas as the company's primary engine of free cash flow and shareholder returns. BP effectively abandoned its green ambitions altogether, announcing plans to invest about $10 billion a year in new oil and gas projects. Of that, 70% goes to oil and 30% to gas. Low-carbon energy now makes up less than 5% of BP's annual investment. BP framed the move as necessary to reverse its flagging financial performance, which had lagged behind competitors like Shell and ExxonMobil for years. The strategy emphasizes infrastructure-led growth, disciplined capital allocation, and selective investment in assets capable of generating competitive returns across commodity cycles. BP's current CEO, Meg O'Neill, is charged with carrying out the strategic reset. She was formerly CEO of Woodside Energy and previously held operational and technical leadership positions during her two-decade tenure at ExxonMobil. BP's current upstream strategy. BP produced roughly 2.36 million BOE per day in 2025, supported by a focused set of world-class assets. The U.S. has become the company's principal growth engine through BPX Energy and its U.S. Gulf operations. Asia provides long-life conventional oil and integrated natural gas developments that support BP's global LNG business. South America, led by Trinidad and Tobago, supplies stable, LNG-linked cash flow, while Europe, Africa, and Australasia contribute dependable production from mature assets. The U.S. is BP's largest and fastest-growing upstream region, with 825,000 BOE per day of 2025 production and 2.6 billion BOE of proved reserves. BP expects U.S. output to approach 1 million BOE per day by 2030, driven by two complementary platforms, BPX Energy and the offshore Gulf. BP's onshore business is managed through BPX Energy, which is expected to produce approximately 500,000 BOE per day in 2026. Its operations span three core shale basins, the Haynesville, Eagleford, and Permian, providing exposure to both natural gas and liquids-rich production. Rather than pursuing growth through acquisitions, BP expects future production gains to come from improved drilling performance, automation, and more efficient development of its existing acreage. During a February presentation at the North American Prospect Expo, NAPE, BPX management noted that the company controls four decades' worth of Tier 1 drilling inventory and expects production to increase to approximately 650,000 BOE per day by 2030. BP's second growth platform is its Gulf portfolio, where the company remains one of the region's largest offshore producers. Existing production of approximately 350,000 BOE per day is expected to increase to roughly 400,000 BOE per day by 2030 through infrastructure-led developments and new production hubs such as Kaskida, BP's second major Gulf project since Deepwater Horizon, and Tiber. Together, BPX Energy and the U.S. Gulf give it one of the industry's most balanced U.S. upstream portfolios. Asia, BP's largest international upstream region and a critical source of long-life value, provides reserve longevity, stable cash flow, and moderate growth. Regional production declined from 1,663,000 BOE per day in 2020, 1,666,000 BOE per day in 2025 following the loss of volumes from Russia's Rosneft. Excluding Rosneft, underlying volumes grew nearly 25% over the period. The region is anchored by conventional oil and integrated natural gas assets spanning Abu Dhabi, Azerbaijan, India, Iraq, and Oman. Abu Dhabi and Azerbaijan together account for more than 60% of regional production. Abu Dhabi provides low decline, oil-weighted volumes from ADNOC's onshore concession, while Azerbaijan contributes long-life production from the Azeri Chirag Gunashli, ACG, oil complex and the Shah Deniz gas development, one of the world's largest integrated gas projects. Oman's Khazan development delivers stable, long-life gas production, while India's KG-D6 complex has been the region's fastest-growing asset, with output nearly doubling since 2021. These developments strengthen BP's LNG portfolio by supplying reliable gas volumes into rapidly growing regional markets. Iraq has re-emerged as a meaningful contributor through BP's expanding role in redeveloping the Rumaila and Kirkuk fields. Recent agreements in Azerbaijan and the UAE illustrate BP's strategy of expanding through discovered resource access rather than frontier exploration. Although BP emphasizes LNG and integrated gas commercially, the region's proved reserves remain predominantly oil-weighted because of the scale of its conventional Middle East and Caspian assets. South America is BP's smallest major upstream region but an important contributor to its integrated gas strategy. Production averaged approximately 305,000 BOE per day in 2025, nearly 80% natural gas, making it one of BP's most gas-weighted businesses. Trinidad and Tobago dominates the portfolio, supplying feed gas to the Atlantic LNG export complex through offshore developments such as Cassia, Juniper, Matapal, and Cypra. BP's interests in Argentina and Bolivia contribute modest volumes and play a limited strategic role. the region's primary function is to generate stable, infrastructure-backed cash flow rather than significant production growth. Europe, Africa, and Australasia form BP's mature international base. Combined production declined from approximately 780,000 BOE per day in 2021 to 570,000 BOE per day in 2025 as BP concentrated capital in higher return regions. Africa experienced the most significant change. Production fell from roughly 400,000 BOE per day in 2021 to 230,000 BOE per day in 2025, driven primarily by lower output in Egypt. Angola remains stable at around 95,000 BOE per day, providing dependable production from mature offshore developments. Mauritania and Senegal began contributing in 2025 through the Greater Tortue Amaim LNG project, demonstrating BP's willingness to invest selectively in high-quality opportunities. Australasia, BP has activities in Australia and eastern Indonesia, contributes roughly 145,000 BOE per day of gas-weighted production that supports BP's broader LNG portfolio. Europe's production has remained relatively stable at approximately 190,000 BOE per day, but BP has announced plans to market its UK upstream business. In the meantime, the region continues to generate meaningful cash flow with modest sustaining capital. BP's upstream portfolio today reflects a decade of strategic transformation, from post-Deepwater Horizon rebuilding, through the uncertainty of the energy transition, to the 2025 reset that restored upstream oil and gas to the center of corporate strategy. Execution now matters more than commodity prices. BP must deliver growth from BPX Energy, expand its U.S. Gulf portfolio, sustain production from its giant Middle East and Caspian assets, and maximize returns from its integrated gas business while maintaining strict capital discipline. Back in the High Life Again was written by Steve Winwood and Will Jennings. It appears as the fourth song on Steve Winwood's fourth studio album of the same name. The song is about overcoming hardships and finding renewed hope for the future. It was released as the fifth single from the album in November 1986 and went to number 1 on the Billboard Adult Contemporary and number 13 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles charts. Personnel on the record were Steve Winwood, lead vocals, keyboards, mandolin, Moog bass, drum programming, Jimmy Breilauer, drum programming, Rob Mouncey, synthesizer, John Robinson, drums, and James Taylor, backing vocals. The album, Back in the High Life Again, was recorded between August 1985 and May 1986 at Unique Recording, Power Station, Right Track, and Giant Sound in New York City, and Nether Turkdom in Turkadian, England. It was produced by Russ Titelman and Steve Winwood. Released in June 1986, it went to number 3 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart and has been certified 4X Platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. 6 singles were released from the LP. Steve Winwood is an English rock vocalist, multi-instrumentalist and songwriter. He started his professional career as the vocalist and organist for the Spencer Davis Group, which had its first hit, Gimme Some Lovin', when Winwood was 16 years old. He was a founding member and vocalist in Traffic and Blind Faith before pursuing a solo career in 1977. He has a long history of session work with successful artists, including the Rolling Stones, appearing on their recent album, Foreign Tongues. He has released 9 studio albums, 2 live albums, 2 soundtrack albums, 9 compilation albums, and 29 singles. He has sold over 50 million records worldwide. He was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of Traffic in 2004. He won a BMI Icon Award in 2005. He has received 2 Grammy Awards and an Ivor Novello Award for Outstanding Song Collection. He received an MBE in 2025. Winwood continues to record and tour and will be appearing at various U.S. venues beginning in September.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.